You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Parents, Present Your Children to the Lord. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Because of the media and because of the sensation of the events, the whole world now knows about the shootings which occurred in the United States high schools in the last several years. Consequently, on June 1, 1999, the President of the United States called a special news conference. The President announced that two federal agencies will undertake an investigation of the marketing of violence in movies, in music, and video games, especially those aimed at children. The President announced that he had asked the Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission to study whether the entertainment industry is luring children to watch violent films, listen to explicit music, and to play murderous video games. The President, according to the New York Times, did not hesitate to offer details at the Rose Garden ceremony. Mr. Clinton cited advertising that invited young readers to kill your friends guilt-free and to get in touch with your gun-toting, cold-blooded, murdering side. The New York Times also indicated that two other studies on this same subject have been done over the past 25 years. And what was the result of these previous studies? These studies demonstrated clearly that there is definitely a correlation, a connection, a link between children watching violent television and their later violent behavior. Of course, there are and always have been those who claim that no such connection exists between violence on television, violence in videos, and the subsequent violent actions of children. These spin doctors try to make this claim in spite of the fact that study after study has demonstrated clearly that there is this connection. Television and videos have a tremendous influence, especially on the lives of innocent children and unsuspecting teenagers. But now has come the watershed, or as we say, the moment of truth. Following several brutal and bloody high school shootings, almost every secular institution is wringing its hands, wondering what to do, who is at fault, and why are some teenagers so violent. More and more religious leaders and secular authorities are saying the same things. The negative influence of the violence on television, videos, and computers far outweighs the influence of the home or the church. Now, if this surprises you, then listen closely. Esther Schaefer, currently serving as the executive director of a group in Washington, D.C., a group which promotes teaching of values to children, recently explained that a special survey revealed that over the course of 1 year, that's right, in a 12-month period, teenagers admitted they were spending 1,500 hours watching television and only 600 hours in school and a mere 33 hours in conversation with their parents. These statistics are incredible. In fact, they are stunning. Knowing these stunning statistics, is it any wonder why children act so violent when they watch television 1,500 hours per year and talk to their parents only 33 hours a year? These children and teenagers learn violence consciously and subconsciously by the most powerful teaching device in the history of mankind. Consequently, it's time to stop playing games over this issue. It's time for action, and this includes action by God-fearing Christians. And so, what do we do? What does God want you as parents or grandparents? Yes, what does God want you to do? Well, instead of suddenly being against all television, let's first turn to the Word of God, and specifically to the first book of Samuel in the Old Testament of the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read that because Hannah was unable to have children, she wept bitterly. This is what the Bible says. One day, the Bible explains, Hannah said to the Lord, "If you give me a child, then I will give this child to the Lord all the days of his life." In due time, the Bible tells us, Hannah gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. After a while, she took Samuel to the house of the Lord, and there Hannah prayed, "O Lord my God, for this boy I prayed, and so as long as he lives, my son Samuel is dedicated to you, to the Lord." Now, let's all take very careful note of this prayer because, you see, in a day and age when babies are conceived and born unplanned and unwanted, the story of Hannah praying for a baby and then giving birth to Samuel and then giving all credit to God, this surely sounds unusual, most unusual. But there is more to the story, much, much more. You see, as soon as Samuel was born, Hannah didn't simply forget about God and let her loved one be raised by those in that day who promoted violence and pornography. And so, precisely, what Hannah did is the lesson that God is teaching all of us today. And if we follow Hannah's example in the Bible, then in spite of all the visual violence that children today are subjected to, there still is hope for your children and grandchildren. And so if you and I desire to be the positive influence toward our children and grandchildren as Hannah was, then we need to have the attitude that Hannah had. Hannah realized that God creates all things. In the Bible, Exodus chapter 4, we read, "The Lord said to him, 'Who gave man his mouth? Who gives man his sight? Is it not I?' says the Lord." Hannah's attitude also reflected additional words of the psalmist when he said, "It is the Lord who forms the hearts of all people." Again, the psalmist says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." More specifically, the psalmist says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His." The writer of the Proverbs states, "Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of all of them." Now, my friend, isn't it interesting that nowadays even those who have very little use for the Lord, yes, even those who go to church only occasionally, yes, even those who pray only once in a while, yes, even they marvel as they see God's magnificent creation. And you know what? No one witnesses God's handiwork more often than nurses do in the nursery of a hospital, and mothers of the newborn and the new father, and the proud grandparents as they examine their newborn loved one. They can't help but be amazed at the tiny fingers and the intricate joints and the perfect fingernails. Every part of the baby is complete, and every joint works. No wonder Isaiah the prophet writes, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, and all of us are the work of your hand." And so then, with this in mind, that God has created us and our children, let's follow the example of the Bible, and let's do what Hannah did. But then, let's also go one more step. And that next step is this. You see, when we have children or grandchildren, let's not stop and say, "God has given us this child, and now the rest is up to us." No, after the baby is born, then God becomes even more important as an influence in the lives of your loved ones. Again, we repeat the words of Isaiah, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. All of us are the work of your hand." This means not only in creation, but also as we grow up, from child to adult. So then, if God is going to be a major influence in the lives of your children or your grandchildren, then they must possess not just some fragmented information about God. Your loved ones must know God as He has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, His Son. Consequently, when your children are connected to Jesus Christ by God's gift of faith, than every time the devil comes into your loved one's life using his mask of violence and pornography in television or video or computer. Then, as a parent, you will be able to have the confidence of God's promise recorded in 1 John 4, verse 4. Greater is he, yes, greater is Jesus Christ, who is in you, than the devil who is in the world. The Bible teaches that all of us, including our children, are under the influence of one of two spiritual powers, either the power of good or the power of evil. And by being baptized into Christ, as explained in Romans chapter 6, we are united with Christ into his death and into his glorious and victorious resurrection. This is the devil-defeating power of baptism. St. Peter also speaks about this in his Pentecost sermon when he says, "This promise of baptism is for you and for your family." When children are connected to Jesus through God's gift of faith, they are then ready to be molded by God for his purposes in this world. They are then also protected from the devil by the devil-defeating power of Jesus' resurrection. Of course, not all parents and grandparents see religion and God as the most important thing that they can give their loved ones. For example, the Wall Street Journal has reported that increasingly, parents are sending their children to summer school to learn how to get involved in investing money, especially in stocks. They claim that when their children reach the age of 10, this is the age when they need to know about investing. In fact, over 500,000 young people now participate in these summer programs featuring investing in the stock market. Of course, there is no doubt that parents do need to teach their children how to manage money, and we are to be good stewards of everything that God has given us. Nevertheless, the Bible reminds us, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Learning a good trade is indeed important. Money management is indispensable. Good health habits, including what to eat and how to exercise and to sleep, are crucial. However, the most important thing that you as parents or grandparents can repeatedly tell your loved ones is that God has graciously created them. And tell them again and again of the love that their Heavenly Father has for them in Jesus Christ. Your loved ones need to know that God's love for them was so great that he sent his Son Jesus Christ to die a bloody death on the cruel cross in order to pay for all their stumblings, all their failures, and all their sins. And so then, what does this all mean? Well, remember how only a few minutes ago we cited statistics that the average teenager today now spends 1,500 hours watching television, but only 600 hours in school, and only 33 hours talking to their parents? Well, this simply means that the forces of television alone are nearly 50 times stronger. That's right, 50 times stronger than the influence that you as a parent will have on your child. Oh, my friend, God is now asking you to change that. Turn off the television. Watch only those programs that are wholesome and educational and provide clean entertainment. Then, turn on a new relationship with your children. Beat the national average. With the help of God, spend more than a mere 33 hours a year with your loved ones. Rearrange your schedule. Refocus your priorities. And as difficult as this may seem, say with the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." Turn off the television, turn on to the Lord Jesus Christ, and have a wonderful time as you tell your children about God's forgiveness in Jesus. Yes, speak the good news with enthusiasm and live the good news of the gospel with great joy. You can do it, and when you do, your children will not become violent as so many nowadays do. God bless you in these efforts. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.